burns. Sweat it out, wait my turn. And now I am here with Titan Gilroy. He is a man of so many talents. He's Titans of CNC. He's building a media empire and so much more. How you doing, Titan?
Doing good, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you are here. For those of Sacramento that may not know you, can you give them an idea of who you are and what this business is all about?
Awesome. Well, first and foremost, I'd say I'm an advocate for American manufacturing and global manufacturing. Work with our kids. We have a company called Titans of CNC, which is a aerospace company building parts for SpaceX, Blue Origin, Aerojet, big companies, right? And we really looked at the industry and saw that our kids weren't getting, the ones that weren't going to college, they're falling by the wayside, a lot of them getting in trouble and stuff. And we stepped in to actually give them free education, right? So now all the schools use our curriculum to basically teach the kids manufacturing.
Well, obviously you've got this super successful company that's being built and you're in the process of being built. What goes into somebody's mind to think about shifting and helping others like that? Was there something that inspired you to do that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say burst on the scene, but I was, you know, I came in, built my company in 2005, made $1 million from having zero money in my pocket in my first 10 months. And 3 years later, I was making $1 million a month. And that's when 2008 hit and the whole collapse happened. And who knew all these ships in the Netherlands that were building all these ROVs would go down, and I'd lost all my contracts. And during that time, I went through the hardest year of my life and watched 50,000 companies go out of business, watched our kids. Nobody understood that we could actually manufacture here in the States. And I jumped up to SpaceX and Blue Origin and aerospace, but my heart had kind of like collapsed, right? Because I was like, man, nobody's actually doing anything for manufacturing. So although we made parts, I kind of switched gears and started a TV show, Titans of CNC. It still airs every Monday night. And to pull back the curtains and show people that we can make things right here more, and we're actually more competitive than other countries.
So you started the TV show, and here I am working on building a radio program and a little bit of, we're having some fun in entrepreneurship. But I mean, I wonder what goes in through your mind. You're starting something from scratch. You don't have this media background, and then all of a sudden you're a manufacturing guy, right? You know how
exactly.
to build stuff.
Exactly.
And now you've turned media.
I have no college education, but I was always an artist, right? I was a creator, so I build things, and all of a sudden it just came to mind. Like, I'm actually a shy person, but if you put a camera on me, there can be millions of people on the other side, and we have a rare talent in our industry, so let's, like, show it off on camera. I just didn't know how hard it was going to be, right? So it's a million producers out there with 40 shows each trying to sell them, and we were fortunate. We sold our show, and it's been probably 5-6 years now.
Well, what about doubts? You say you're a shy person, and now all of a sudden you're not camera shy today.
Yeah.
How did that change?
Well, I'd say, you know, I'm still a shy person, but at the same time, I understand the platform and I want to make a difference. So, you know, if you see me with my family, I'm just kind of like with my family and stuff. But then if I see the platform like today, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to speak boldly. And because I understand I got one chance to make a difference, and that's what it's about. So when the cameras go on, then I go on and I do my thing. You know?
But in the early years, did you have doubts? I mean, what kind of insecurities might have surfaced? Because there's a lot of people out there trying to build a personal brand or a maybe even a celebrity brand of some kind. And there's obviously insecurities that creep in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would say that some of the guys know me and stuff. I'd say, you know, I come from homelessness and prison, and, you know, I come from like a hard life and stuff, and I've had to scrape and fight to get up. And I guess confidence would probably be one of my strongest assets, where I've actually gone after impossible things and all of a sudden I attain them and I'm like, how'd that happen? But sometimes you just have to speak it and go after it, right? So it's been
so speak and go after. Who, when you're speaking it, who are you speaking to? Yourself or your team?
As far as speaking,
like you say, you speak it and go after it, and somehow you sort of speak it into existence. Is that self talk? Are you saying, Titan, you can do this?
Like, hey, we're gonna do a TV show without actually understanding what's in developing a TV show. But once you take those steps and you keep going down, then you're one step 5 steps closer to actually achieving it, you know? And let's do an academy. Like, you know, I got kicked out of high school and now, you know, I'm one of the most sought after speakers in high schools and colleges, right? So it's like, you know, let's actually, do we have something of value that we can bring to the table? And if we believe in the message and we believe in the curriculum that we've created, then that gives us the boldness and confidence to speak it out and go after it, right?
Why do you think your message resonates so much today with at the high school level or even in San Quentin or the other prisons that you're doing work in?
Well, I think that we're bringing like a real solution to a problem. You know, prisons, you know, I know the education just in California, they get $500 million, right? But 86 or 87% of all inmates are actually going to, when they get out, they're going to come back within 5 years to prison. They're recommitting crimes. They're hurting people, right? And they're not, because the prisons aren't teaching them a valuable, viable trade that can actually allow them to make good money and do that. So that's what we did, was we actually took our third season, went into San Quentin prison and built an actual school, Titans of CNC, our own school from the experience that we had, and built the curriculum so these guys could get out and get $30 an hour, $40 an hour jobs, right? Yeah. And then we put it up online and made it free for all teachers. And now we're partnered with 2,500 schools. We have 60,000 students online in 170 countries. And I think our viewership is 15 million per month, something like
that.
Wow,
incredible. And just for any of our audience members that might not understand what a CNC machine is, can you identify, you know, describe that to us and what these prisoners or what these young people are learning how to do?
Absolutely. So back in the day, we had mills and lathes, and you hand cranked them, and now you have a computer on there with motors and servos, and it's basically the most advanced system of manufacturing. It's how you build iPhones. It's how you build the machines that plane this wood or made those tennis shoes. Every single thing that you touch, stand, or stand under has either been CNC machined, or the machine that created it was CNC machined and stuff. So our lives, if you didn't have CNC machines, I think you'd be like buck naked in the woods, you know what I mean? Because that's what it's about.
Yeah. You know? So you're teaching these jobs to maybe people who are maybe not going to college, taking the standard get out of high school, get your 4-year degree, spend some time at a you know, the traditional job route.
Yeah, I think, well, we have a message, right? We have a message that for far too long, like, our country was built on manufacturing, built on CNC machining. If you look at our entire military, you look at ships and boats and planes and jeeps, they were all CNC machined. They were all made out of sheet metal and whatnot. And basically, over the last 30 years, we've basically allowed all the jobs to leave. We've looked at college education and bankers and doctors and lawyers and pointed our kids in that direction. And we've watched not only have other countries build empires, right? Everything China is because of our work that we gave them. And good on them, right? They got serious about manufacturing. Well, you know, we neglected it. And that's why you see in the city of Chicago and Oakland, all these places, you see the inner cities, there's no jobs, no hope. And you see a whole bunch of these kids that can't be a banker, doctor, or lawyer, right? And all of a sudden, they have no opportunity. So they end up getting in trouble, going to prison, getting addicted to drugs. Our veterans are coming back, you know, 22, you know, veterans killing themselves every single day. When if we got serious about manufacturing, we brought those jobs back, you educated them, they could make 30, 40 bucks an hour and actually make a house payment, right? So that's what we're fighting for, is like, let's get serious about education. Everybody, you know, everybody talks about it, but nobody actually does anything. So I just dedicated my life to doing something.
So you start moving in this direction. I mean, was there a big vision at the beginning? And if so, how did it change?
It's just taken a life of its own. You know, I started the TV show and they gave me ownership on my show. And everybody's like, oh, that's an amazing thing. You know, Mike Rowe is a huge advocate for manufacturing. He never shows his show because he was just a paid employee. Right. So during the show and during the seasons, I kept thinking like, man, like I was making more money, like making rocket parts, you know, and I didn't really think about the academy or education. But the more I traveled, the more I went to these big billion-dollar companies, the more I went to these huge universities putting $20 million in their programs, I realized they actually don't know how to do it. They're not making the right parts. They're not making enough of them to learn through repetition. And nobody, like, there's nobody really, being humble, there's never been somebody like myself who's on the pinnacle of manufacturing, working with SpaceX and stuff, that's actually come into education. It's usually somebody who 20 years ago they did something, and therefore they're telling our kids who grew up on computers and phones that you need to do it how I did it 20, 40 years ago, and that's why the kids have fallen off. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, what really happened is, like, we built the school, we built the curriculum, we built everything, and one morning, literally, I woke up and I just thought, you know what? All these billion-dollar companies are trying to create media and grabbing their cameras. I got hundreds of terabytes of, like, data, right? And I'm just like, we can just put everything online, make it free, make an impact worldwide, and change the course of our country. And all these kids are doing it now. Mm-hmm. So Sierra College,
yes,
Rockland High School, Kennedy High School, Roosevelt High School, Lincoln High School, they're all using our curriculum. And these kids are actually making parts. They're making robots.
It's incredible. Oh. It's incredible. I wonder from a business standpoint, right? So a lot of times when you're building a personal brand or a media company, that can be a slow road to really helping the business side of things, right? So you've come back from the recession, and you know you've been through some hard times in your life. You've been through some hard times again with the recession, and yet you decide to make this big investment into a media company. I can't imagine that has paid off quickly. Is it helped the business, or in what way?
Well, I'd say that. So a few things. Of course, we're making less money than we would if we were just making a bunch of SpaceX parts running three shifts like we used to, right? But at the same time, there's a business plan in place. So we figured out we're literally the only ones, like, we found a void in education. Who can make money off of education, right? Everybody's trying to, like, go on YouTube and figure things out. We came from a TV show into education, and because we have the experience and talent, we brought in a curriculum that actually works, and it's like it's 10% of what other people are spending, right? Mm-hmm. And because it works and because it's so good, the popularity, like companies like Northrop and Lockheed and Boeing and NASA are surrounding us and lifting us up, right? So we give free education, but we have partners that we use their machines, we use their tools, we use this and stuff. And that allows us to give free education. But in the coming months, when you have all the tutorials that teach you how to do it, all of a sudden it's going to be like, do you want to get Titan certified? Mm-hmm. So now all the schools are going to be getting certified, and then there'll be a cost. So if you think about why is Facebook like worth so much money, right? Because they have community. So in our industry, we've built a massive community, and people respect me because I don't shy away from things, and I say it like it is, and I don't compromise. So they trust me, and they spend money based on what I use, right? So that's part of the business, and then the certifications is huge for us, and that's our future and stuff. So in a way, you can see this. You see
it. Yeah, I can see how it all ties together. But you've given away the curriculum free. You didn't know that this dream would unfold the way that it is. But you used the term impossible earlier. You're working on things that are impossible. Is there a part of you that just likes to do stuff that nobody else could think of doing?
Yeah, I think ever since I was young, I was making my own toys and making my own things. And once I made something, I never did it a second time. And making parts for SpaceX, once you do it, then I want to do bigger things and bigger everything. And with the TV show, you know what I mean? So it's always on to the next big thing and stuff. And that's our academy now. Is like we're just reinventing the academy, making everybody's like, oh, this thing is amazing. It's a beast. And it's like we just keep bringing the heat and making it, you know, just better and stuff. So the academy is like our part with our workmanship making it. And then it's like, okay, you got 60,000 students. And it's actually more than that because a lot of the students fall under their actual teacher and stuff. But how can we give them the best experience possible and actually change their lives? And then all these companies. So a huge thing that we're doing, aerospace is an $800 billion industry, right? But now it's not the space shuttle. It's SpaceX going up multiple times. Every week they're going up, right? It's not rocket science. They're figuring it out, right? So all of a sudden in the next couple of years, you're going to have like the industry is going to be $2 trillion, $3 trillion. A lot of that work's going to be right here in California. Incredible. You know what I mean? So who's teaching that stuff?
Yeah.
Our teachers, our schools, like CTE and all this, like it is an absolute disgrace because their CNC program, they can't talk about CNC because not all – people will pass, you know what I mean? So I've been able to work with the state on certain things, but I'm just like, man, at this rate, like, you know, it's going to take 80 years to teach these kids what they need to learn, you know? Yeah. So we're stepping in on that gap to actually teach the highest level of manufacturing so people can actually work for those big companies, because, you know, you can have all the engineers in the world designing all the stuff, but if you can't make it, then what are you going to do?
Wouldn't it be cool if one of your disciples created the first parts that landed on Mars or something else? I mean, who will be who will get there first? Which, I mean, because you have knowledge of who's doing what out there in that industry.
I think without a doubt, Elon Musk is going to get there first, and we have parts actually on the. I won't say too much, but let's just say that, you know, we've been in that mix, and it's an exciting time. I mean, when I started my business and we were coming in, I read an article in 2007 about Elon Musk, and he just sold PayPal, and he was sitting in a convertible, and he was looking up, and he was like, what is the plan to colonize Mars? And he realized there was none, and he took $100 million, put it into a company, named it SpaceX, and got the NASA contracts, and I was like, I want to work for that guy. Yeah. You know, and now look what he's done with Tesla and stuff. So without a doubt, I think Elon's like way ahead of the pack.
Yeah. So these big dreams. I mean, what's the big dream for Titans of CNC, your enterprise that you're building?
Well, I think that I think in life
for the future.
I think in life, if you can build a company and take care of your family. And do it on a foundation of serving your community and serving your trade, then I think you've been incredibly successful. So I'm here to actually fight and work hard for the American workers and basically our kids so that we can actually build parts right here and outcompete the world and make it happen. And I'm also proud that, you know, if you're in Brazil, you know, Australia, Japan, wherever, we have a huge following, and you have the right to make your own parts. You know what I mean? Like, let's have fun. This is sports. Like, I love the other team, but let's compete and actually have fun. So I just want to see people get excited about manufacturing, and we need to start making our own products if we want to, like, stop building prisons. You know what I mean? Yeah. Straight up.
Well, who do you view as competition? A lot of people have head-to-head competition, but you're doing something so different.
Yeah.
Do you have competition?
I would say we do not have any competition, period. And if you look at the internet and you look at business and you look at everything, that's an extremely rare place to be. And in a sense, it's sad. You know that there's standards for everything that you do when it comes to education, and yet five-axis machining, multi-axis tombstones, all these different things that a lot of people don't know that actually build our country, there are no standards in place, period. And who would build those standards? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, who would make money off of that stuff? So, you know, I just look at the government. I just look at all the money that's getting put out for prehistoric education, and we just decided, you know what, let's not so much play nice with everybody. We're cordial, you know, yes. But at the same time, let's build our own standards and show people how it needs to be to actually compete and make money and do it and have fun doing it. Let's get after it, you know. So
I love it. Okay, so you've become famous. So I run into you occasionally, whether it be Starbucks or Louis Bassett or something. And I have to imagine that's funny. I have to imagine people are starting to come up to you now. You're walking through the grocery store, what have you, and it's like, Titan, how you doing? People want to get their picture taken with Titan. I mean, what's the feeling? Is that disruptive to your life? How do you feel when somebody walks up to you like that?
You know, I don't think it says, you know, my guys can attest that, like, we just went to a huge tool show, right? And I spoke, I think, close to 20 times. And each time, the whole place packed up. They'd never seen anything like it. I was signing posters. The lady there was signing the Kimberly, who was actually passing me the posters to sign. Like, the entire time, she was trying to, like, hold back the tears, because every single person had a life story about how they had saved their company, or their son had autism, or something happened that was just a miraculous thing. And literally, people just were crying. Like, if I go to the airport, I got 80-year-old men that come to me, and literally tears come down their eyes and just say thank you. And I, you know what I mean?
Like, it's not 80-year-old men?
80-year-old, because they love this country, and they've seen it go in different directions. And because we stand up for manufacturing and for our kids and stuff, they're just like, it's about time, you know?
Incredible.
So,
And I'm bouncing around a little bit, but I have to. I'm trying to put my myself in your shoes and wondering, do you have off days, right? So because you're Titan Gilroy, you're expected to be Titan Gilroy every day, whether you're having an off day or you're having an on day. You still have to be Titan Gilroy. There's people that look up to you, yeah, that hold you up on a pedestal. How do you deal with that?
I would say that every day is a push and a grind and stuff. And I've been fortunate to, you know, I guess another thing that I've done well is I've attracted a good team, you know. So my vice president, Matt, I mean, he does a good job at holding me accountable. I ask my team to hold me accountable. Just brought in Dave. I mean, these are like top level guys and my entire team and stuff. So when I walk into the office, no matter what kind of day I'm having, you know, you got to turn that light on and it's go time. And if you're not yourself, yes, I have somebody telling me like, Titan, what's up? You good? You know what I mean? You need a Red Bull? Like, you need a coffee? Like, what's up? You know?
I love it. You know? All right. Just closing thoughts. We're out there. I mean, this is a heck of a story. We didn't go into your past, which is an incredible story. You can go back to our other podcasts and hear the other things that you've overcome in your life. It's so much that you've done. And you can obviously go follow you as well. But just advice to entrepreneurs, right? There's so many people out there that are thinking about chasing their dream. They're at the beginning stages. And, you know, they see where someone like you has taken the enterprise. Advice to that next guy in line.
You know, I would say, you know, everybody has a gift. And you got to, like, look at that gift and you got to be bold in it. I have two sons who have autism, and therefore I've been given this, you know, on my shoulders. So then I reach out and I try to help people with autism and help other people. I used to be in prison, so I go into the prison system because I'm qualified to actually speak to those people, right? I've been homeless. So I really try to figure out things that are like close to myself and that my gifts work with, and I go to actually help those types of people. So if you're trying to do something and that's not who you are, it will probably fail. So who are you? What are the experiences you have? What are you qualified for? Figure it out and figure out something that's tangible, that's real, and fight for it. And when everybody says, oh, you can't do it, don't listen to them, because that nobody's going to share your same dream. If that's you, you got to fight for it. You got to walk it. You got to be bold in it. And you got to, like, just make it happen, you know? I mean, there's a million times where I was in the darkness and I was like, I just had the strength to put one foot in front of the other, and all of a sudden you're in the light again and you're like, oh man, I almost didn't come out of that. You know what I mean? As far as just business or whatever. And you just gotta keep pushing. I mean, that's what you're about, right?
It's what I try to do every day. Yeah. One foot after another, Titan Gilroy, I want to thank you for coming on the show, sharing your story, and shaping the way we look at manufacturing here in America.
That's it. It's important. You got to fight for it. Otherwise, I mean, what can you do? This country is going to go down if you don't make your own products.
Yes, sir.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.